T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now when you see him hire Adon Samuel, I think that's a very interesting hire. What were your initial thoughts? I mean, he's probably the best money can buy. Does it automatically mean he's off the hook? No, but what does it mean when you're talking about making that 2-2 there?
You know, honestly, when I saw it, I'm like, damn, his retainer must be ridiculous. That's the I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to mind. I'm like, man, he wants his money up front. That was the first thing that came to mind. But then when I sat down and I started to think about it a little bit, and I was like, that's probably the best move for him. The problem started when the first salvo was fired on social media. So for him, he is already behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go out there and you got to get the best. You have to get the best. And that's what he did. I know it's going to cost him a little bit of coin, but that's what you have to do in a situation like this, because you're already, in the court of public opinion, you've already been convicted.
Yeah, now say if this had happened 15, 16, 17 years ago, I would say, what in the world is he thinking? But now Jameis Winston, do you see who his mentor is now?
I saw the mentor.
Randy Moss. Randy Moss is going to take him under his wing. And I don't think anyone would have thought that would be a good idea for 15, 16 years ago. But that it should tell you how we change, how we grow up. Randy Moss, dope smoking, all kinds of issues. Wasn't a very disciplined individual. Obviously turned into be a hell of a football player. And now all of a sudden he's mentoring a Jameis Winston. And really, if you want to get a guy to straighten up, you got to find a guy that used to be there, right?
See, and this is where I hear what you're saying, and you're right. But I have a problem with this, because Jameis Winston got a mentor when he first came into the NFL, one that trumps Randy Moss, and that's Derrick Brooks.
Yep.
And Derrick Brooks went to school. They went to the same school. And now you mean to tell me, I looked at it, man, and I'm like, really? You go out and get Randy Moss, and you had Derrick Brooks. So what is Randy Moss going to do differently than what Derrick Brooks did? Derrick Brooks was a Christian man, devout in his faith, Hall of Famer, went to your alma mater,
mm-hmm.
and you won't even listen to him? What? You going to listen to Randy, I guess, because y'all relate a little bit better? I'm assuming. I don't get it. I mean, you had probably one of the best mentors you could possibly have in Derrick Brooks. Now you got to go out and get another one.
And Jameis Winston, I'm sitting here just waiting for this kid to grow up. He's 24 years of age. He's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback. I think everyone wants to make him the franchise guy, and I don't mean from a franchise label. They want to make him the face of that organization. And
yes,
right now, everyone's kind of afraid to do that because he can't stop doing dumb things. And I hate bringing up the crab claws and the computer out the window. Now the Uber situation, I get it. I do want to share something with you, because Jameis is from Hueytown, Alabama, which is roughly 30 minutes away from where I live over Birmingham. And his father, Antonor, called me up about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's a phone call you take, because I'm thinking to myself, great, maybe I can get his son on our radio program. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we went and had lunch at a little Jim and Nick's barbecue joint in Birmingham. And I listened. And this is when it was going through the crab claw thing, and then something else. I think there was something else where he was in the news, and it turned out to be nothing. And I said, you understand, it's the drip. It's the small crack in the windshield, and if you don't get it fixed soon, it turns into a spider crack, and next thing you know, your windshield's blowing up off I-85.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I get where you're coming from. He said, I want you to understand that, you know, people like to pile on, particularly in this world of social media. You mentioned it last hour. People can put whatever they want out there on social media, but when there's smoke, there's fire. And I said, Antonor, you have to understand, too, from a radio standpoint, we go based on opinion. We do all of our research we possibly can. We hear different stories. There was a great book that was actually written by a friend of mine, Lars Anderson, who used to work for SI,
mm-hmm.
where he actually went into Hueytown and spoke to a lot of Jameis Winston's friends and wasn't particularly welcome to his neighborhood because they thought he was trying to get some dirt, and he did. But your trail follows you for where it goes. And so I reached out to Antonor yesterday and said, is there anything you want to comment? Because I'm over here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, major market, top 10 market, millions of people listening to the show. I said, is there any type of message you want me to put out there for your son? And he said, again, a situation where he's misunderstood. And I said, listen, coming from a father, if you continually cover for your son and keep saying that he's misunderstood, aren't you enabling him
yes.
to make further wrong mistakes?
Yeah.
And he didn't get that. And I get that. As a father, he's not his agent. I get that. He's his dad. I get that. And maybe instead of a father-son situation, it's a best friend situation, which is not a good situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, you have to understand that from a radio standpoint and a broadcasting standpoint, you and I are going to talk about this. We see it. He's being disciplined by the National Football League. There's something there. And it may not be because he's guilty, just because he can't seem to stay out of his own way. He's 24 years of age. He needs to flip and grow up.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. And as a parent, you always want to protect your kids.
Sure.
But if you see – I would like to think that if I saw one of my children going down a destructive path, that I would make the right decision and tell them to do the right thing. Or even if I had to, you know, give them that tough love, that I would do that. Because that's kind of the way that I was brought up. I remember when I went to school, Central State, and I left because, you know, practice was hard. I was homesick, and it was everything that I didn't expect it to be at college. First time away from home. So I in the middle of the night, I left school.
Really?
I left. I packed my stuff up while everybody else was going to team meetings. I packed my stuff in the car, and I hightailed it back to the house. And as soon as I got there, my dad was looking at me. He was like, you got to go. He said, you can't stay here. And I looked, and I thought he was going to be happy to see me. He said, you got to go back. He said, you can't stay here. You're not welcome. And I looked at him, and I'm like, damn, I'm not welcome. He said, here, you have to leave. And I stayed there that night. But the next morning, the school was calling. They wanted me to come back, and I went back. That was the best thing that he could have done for me. And in that situation, I run home, and I'm thinking that he's going to be happy to see me, and, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm just going to be at home. No, he was like, no, you got to go. You got to take your ass back to school. He said, you have to go. And I went back, man, and I never looked back. But that's the thing that a parent has to do. And I'm pretty sure he was happy to have me back home, but at the same time, he knew that by that decision right there would probably handicap me for the rest of my life. He knew that. So he said, you know what?
Yeah, where would you be now?
Yeah, basically. And that's kind of the way I look at it. You know, you never want to give up. And you hold yourself accountable every day. Hold yourself accountable every day for your actions and everything that you do. And, you know, that's why when certain things have happened in my life, you know, you learn from them
mm-hmm.
and you move on. But you don't keep making the same mistakes that you've made before.
Antonor, and he may be having this conversation with Jameis, I don't know. But as a football fan, I'm just tired of hearing about them over and over and over. And what ends up happening, and the Shady situation, it's kind of following him too. When you're used to having things, that's why the Pac-Man Jones story to me is amazing. The fact that he was not the one arrested, because if I see two guys getting in a fight and Pac-Man Jones is part of it,
you
I'm putting the cuffs
assume.
On him first. But yeah. When you saw the video, this guy was a knucklehead.
And that's the good thing about that. The video basically kind of exonerated Pac-Man.
It did.
And Pac-Man still got them hands though.
he was getting after it, wasn't he?
Hey, Pac-Man put in that work and didn't take his backpack.
When the guy hits the floor, he's getting after it. When he's spot
he
on, he's
he
ready
was
to go.
Lucky.
He's stomping.
Whomever jumped in and kept him from taking all that heat did him a solid, because he was about to get that work. Pac-Man was about to give him that
work.
When
you're on the floor with your feet up and you got your hands like this,
you're
about
bad,
ready to get you.
You're in a bad spot.
Jameis, and again, I've got some friends of mine that are huge Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans. They are just dying for this kid to grow up and grow up quickly. At the age of 24, 19 touchdowns, 11 picks last year for a 92.2 rating. A very good year. 63.8%, threw for 3,500 yards. And then, of course, the year before, he really threw it out with 28 touchdowns. I think he's got 69 touchdowns and 44 picks in a three-year career. He's got it going on, man.
Yeah, he got it.
I mean,
he has some
talent. But you have to wonder, and you tell me, the quarterback position is one of leadership.
Has to be.
If you've got a guy that can't even get out of his own way with an Uber driver and now is suspended or gets disciplined by the National Football League, what does that say to your organization, to the players that are underneath him? And he's out there jawing with those guys, trying to get them to do the right routes and catch the football and stop dropping things. And then he can't stay out of his own way. What does that do for the locker room?
That people are looking at you like, how are you going to try to tell me to do something? You can't even walk the right path. But you still have to, you know, he's still in a position where you have to listen to him, but it's not a good look when your quarterback is not doing what he's trying to get you to do, and that's being held accountable for his actions. You know what I mean? That's kind of a tough guy to follow. You know, you can say what you want. I used to hear stories about Peyton Manning, and they was like, they just say, if I tell you that there's some Easter eggs out there on the field, you better go back and you better bring them back to me. Something like that they were saying. But they were talking about basically how, like, he's the leader. He's that leader in the huddle, and he commands that kind of respect. Jameis Winston getting in all this trouble off the field and saying all this kind of crazy stuff, you kind of look at him and I'm like, man, you know he's a quarterback, but you're like, come on, bro. You know, you got to lead by example. And right now he's not doing that.
Who would be a quarterback in the National Football League when you were playing that a lot of people thought was a great leader but wasn't?
You put me on the spot.
Was Brett Favre that guy? I mean, a lot of people talked about how crazy he was, and I know, you know.
I never played with Brett Favre, but I think he was a great leader. I think he was a great leader.
But he was crazy, right?
Good and crazy. I think he sometimes he threw his teammates under the bus, or he spoke too ill about some of his teammates. Who else would I say that? I think Donovan McNabb was a great leader. He was a good leader. He was a little different. He was quirky. He's a good leader, though.
And I know you took his back several times.
Yeah. Boomer Esiason was a little different. I caught Boomer on the tail end of his career when he was with the New York Jets.
Yeah.
So he was a little different.
I know that he was a different cat there with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, he was a little different.
Bengals fans, I look at a guy like Andy Dalton right now for the Cincinnati Bengals, a guy that actually had a behind-the-doors meeting with Marvin Lewis just 3 years ago. Hey, listen, Red, you need to get on it. You need to start screaming in some faces. He was kind of an aloof kind of guy. He was a Joe Flacco. I would consider Joe Flacco a good leader. But when the guys were dropping footballs, he just kind of put his arms up. Eli Manning. I would say Eli Manning is a great leader just because he's the quarterback of that squad and has won a couple of Super Bowls. I wouldn't put him in that leadership role. And that's okay. Some people don't want to be leaders. Some people are just really good at their craft. They're great role players.
It all depends on what you consider a leader to be. Now, for me, I consider Eli Manning to be a leader. He's a quiet leader. He's not that vocal rah-rah, you know, pull somebody's face mask and shake them up kind of leader. But he's still a leader. To me, he commands that kind of respect. It's just in a different kind of way. I mean, I don't see him getting in your face like a Peyton Manning would and telling you to get in a huddle or something like that, or maybe even a Drew Brees or Matt Ryan. We've had instances here where Matt Ryan, you heard him telling people to STFU and get in the huddle, you know, things of that nature. So it just all depends. Some guys can have that quiet leadership, and some guys can be a little bit more vocal at times.
All right, coming up here a little bit later on this hour, right around 9:40, we're going to be doing the Windy Zone. Also, between now and then, I want to talk some more Braves baseball. You got to talk about that big win last night, 9-5 last night. Of course, they get it done, and I think one of the reasons they get it done is they finally got a little breathing room early. 4-0 there in the second inning. All of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, you're feeling pretty good. The first home run in some 58 innings. So they get the big victory, and of course, they get the off night. You almost wish you didn't have an off night coming off a victory like that. Yeah. Let's get after it again. Arizona, of course, leading the West right now. They're going to be rolling to the town. And Anibal is going to be taking the mound tomorrow night, so we'll talk about that. Also, Mike Leach of the Washington State Cougars. I get a chance to talk to him on a weekly radio program. He is aloof, different, brilliant, and one of only four guys in college football who have never taken a snap in college football.
That's pretty interesting.
It really is. I mean, and I know a lot of guys are like, listen, if you don't want to play, I don't want to hear from you. Listen, the guy's getting it done out there.
Yeah, you know,
knocked off USC last season.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because I want to ask him about that. How did he know that he could coach?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because most guys, they get into coaching because they have some background in football, like some background. So I'm kind of curious to ask Coach, how did he know, like, when did you know that, you know, hey, I could do this? I could kind of do this and have some success at it.
He was in Key West last week. The week before, he was in Portugal. You know where he was the week before?
Where's that?
Croatia. Who, of course, will be playing in the World Cup. So we'll have to ask about Croatia. Did he feel that spirit when he was over there?
Okay, cool.
So we'll get into it in just a few minutes. Mike Leach joined us right here on 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the frickin' goal line!
We're going to fill 5 hours of radio. You're going to love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Johnny Hugh in the mornings. This hour has been brought to you by Renters Warehouse. Take it away, Tone.
And you can follow, of course, Hugh at Big Hugh 53, Tone the Bone 37, filling in for John Fricke. Let's go to that hotline right now. He's a friend of mine and a guest every single week on my weekly show over in Alabama, and he is the head coach of the Washington State Cougars. It's Coach Mike Leach. Coach, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Brother, thank you so much for the early start. I know the last couple of weeks we talked to you. You were Key West, I think, last week. You were in Portugal the week before, and you were in the Croatian Islands. Did you ever think that maybe a team like Croatia would be in the World Cup on Sunday?
You know, I didn't. And I'm not an expert on soccer. I mean, I have a general knowledge of who's, you know, who does well and who's in it and things like that. And we had a cab driver, actually, in Croatia as pool play was getting started, and we asked him how Croatia's going to do. And he says, well, they're just an okay team. They're getting better. And so he way under-predicted how his country was going to do in this thing at the time. But, no, it's a pretty exciting World Cup, which little I know about it. And, I mean, obviously the traditionalists and probably some people trying to make some money on the deal wanted the ultimate England and France matchup. But here you have Croatia, one of the smallest countries to participate in the thing, going strong and trying to win this sucker.
And Coach Mike Leach joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. July 25th at Hollywood and Highland will be the Pac-12 Media Days. We got the SEC Media Days that are going to take 4 days, starting on Monday and Thursday. Do you like the fact that you pack everything into one day for the Pac-12?
Yeah, it's about time, in my opinion. Because we've done it over three, we've done it over a long two. Now it's going to be a long one, and I'm very happy that they're doing it that way. The Big 12 did it that way, and actually in the Big 12, you got it done and I know they've changed some since then, but you got it done in half a day. You know, you'd put your suit on, they'd stick you, they'd car wash you through one stop after the next. You'd get a little deja vu going, wondering if you just said what you were about to say, and you know, because you'd start sort of subverbalizing the stuff that you'd said, but they'd get you out of there in half a day.
How do you decipher who you're going to be taking to your media days? I know a lot of people are surprised that Jake Fromm's not going to be with Kirby Smart's squad, and I know a lot of coaches like to protect their players. Some coaches like to bring their seniors, the guys that have stuck it out the longest. But how do you do it?
Well, I generally try to take seniors if I can, mainly because they've been around your program the longest and you know, have the most expertise on the team. I mean, they may not be the best player, but they'll know your team the best. And then I try to take guys that are going to kind of be reliable, positive representatives of the team, that are good locker room guys that represent kind of the words and personality of your team. And then the other thing is to be perfectly honest, I want somebody that's not going to screw up. So, I mean, some of these guys will either be too timid or they'll get big-headed. And I don't want some kid that's going to get snakes in his head because you brought him some attention and put him on a national stage. Like, any of these guys that are going to sit there and bask in it a little too much aren't the type of guys I'm going to bring.
Coach, Hugh Douglas here. I'm fascinated, Coach, because you're one of a handful of coaches that don't really have a football background. So how did you know that you could be pretty good at coaching the game of football?
Well, I played all through high school, and I was kind of obsessed with it and, you know, worked out, tried to be good at it and all that. But when I was in high school, you know, I was 5'10", 155 pounds. And then, but we had good teams. You know, we were the smallest school in the biggest classification. And we won a state championship when I was a sophomore. And then we played for it, played for the state championship when I was a junior. So we, you know, had a lot of good success in a team setting. And then I broke my ankle my senior year. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to college, and I went to BYU, and BYU's, you know, a really good rugby team, BYU and Cal are the two best rugby schools in the country. And as I'm bringing my ankle back, I started playing rugby. So I'm traveling all over the country playing rugby. But in the midst of all that, I started coaching Little League Baseball. And I had a Little League Baseball team every year from when I was 15 to my sophomore year in college. And, you know, I'd think about coaching. If I make this move, how does this help the team? And, you know, yeah, this guy needs to work on this. This guy, you know, needs to be settled down and confidence built. This guy, you know, you need to get his attention, discipline him. And, you know, and all that stuff, as I'm sitting there working my summer job, I'm going through all this coaching stuff. And and so as I'm going to college and then went to law school, I'm thinking, you know, it'd be a shame to get old and not coach. And I wanted to, and I was always more of a football guy. And so then I wanted to get into coaching. And after I got out of law school and was as broke as I could possibly be and had my first daughter who actually lives in Atlanta, Janine lives in Atlanta, and she's a doctor in Atlanta. Then I did the logical thing. I took out some more student loans. I got a master's, and I started coaching.
Coach Mike Leach joins us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know when it ever comes to recruiting, you want to protect your borders, and I also know that when it comes to recruiting hotbeds, you're looking at Texas, you're looking at Florida, you're looking at the Georgia there, Alabama. When it does come to recruiting, and you're sitting here in Atlanta right now on 92.9 The Game, how do you decipher how much time you're going to spend in a particular area of the country when you recruit?
You know, I guess the quick answer to that is the further away they are, the harder they better recruit you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, somebody's clear across the country and they say, yeah, you're one of my 25 favorite teams and one of 25 teams that I plan to visit. We're going to, you know, we're inclined to say, well, let us know when we're 1 year two, you know, or something like that. You know, our biggest recruiting area is the Pac-12 footprint. And we're a big California school. We get a lot of people from California and of course the state of Washington, but, and we do have some from, you know, several from Georgia and, you know, and the other thing, the biggest thing is, you know, people recruit people, not, you try to call, create a relationship, that type of thing. But, no, I mean, a guy's got to be, you know, the further out it is, they have to be motivated to come to your place. And sometimes they are for real genuine reasons. They have relatives there. You know, we get a certain number that kind of want to see the world.
Yeah.
You know, want to go someplace different that they haven't been. And, they may, you know, may or may not, end up in Washington in the end, but they want to see something that they haven't seen before and experience it. And, so yeah, we everybody says, well, they recruit nationally. Well, if you think you recruit nationally, there's a lot of holes in the net, so you got to kind of prioritize it.
No doubt. Coach, we got about 60 seconds. What three shows you find on Netflix? I know you tweeted out something. You were looking for some new stuff on Netflix to watch. What's a piquing your interest?
Well, I watched Bloodline. I've watched Bloodline before. I watched Wild Country about the Rajneeshis. And when I was in coming out of high school, you know, there were a certain number of those cults, and of course, all the parents were afraid their kids would end up joining the cult. You know, so. So I went unscathed on that. And, so I watched Wild Country. And then, so then last night, it's funny on the strength of the Twitter, last night I started watching, Ozark, which is kind of a,
that's a good one.
Is it good?
Yeah. Ozark's a good one.
You ever watch a show called Power on Stars? Big Hughes
now,
into that
how
show.
How is it?
Power's pretty good, Coach. I'll tell you that much. It's a pretty good show. I mean, I like it. It's in its fifth season. And it's about this man named Ghost. He's a drug dealer trying to get out of the drug game. So it's a pretty good show.
Now, so it, and I'm trying to figure it out. Is he like a mobster or a talent scout or what is he?
He's more, I would say, Coach, he's probably more like a mobster. Not a talent scout, but more of a mobster type.
Because it looked a little bit like, you know, he was sort of maybe a kind of corrupt talent agent type of guy.
No, he's a club owner. He's a club owner. That's his front for his drug business. And he was trying to get out of the drug game, and you know some things happened, and they're pulling him back into the drug game. Because everybody, Coach, I'm trying to not give you too much away because people are looking at me like I'm about to give away spoiler alerts, and they're ready to hit the sounder on me. So I'm trying to, you know, keep it as vanilla as I possibly can.
I've watched a bunch of this Star stuff. I think you can go back to the Roman Empire, and you discover that in the Roman Empire they had more makeup and breast implants than you realize, you know?
I did not know that, Coach. I did not know that.
We always learn something. And on that note, we'll let you fly. Coach, greatly appreciate your time this morning, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Well, it's great to talk to you.
We'll talk to you this weekend. There he is. 92.9 The Game, head coach of the Washington State Cougs. I talk to him every single week.
Man, he's a different cat.
He is a different cat. He's for sure. And he joins us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, something that is always a different cat. We love it. The Windy Zone. We're going to get into that next right here. Check out at Big Hugh 53 at Tone of the Bone 37 for John Fricke. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Windy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, before I get into who Tim Tebow is dating, because I know Hugh Douglas, you have been very curious because I talked about it with you this morning, I have to let our listeners know that the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest returning next week. It starts on Monday, July the 16th. You're going to tune in for the code word 9 minutes after the hour each hour between 7 a.m. 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Then text that code word to 72881 from your cell phone, and then tune in next week for the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest.
All right.
So who wouldn't want to start a Monday morning with $1,000 their pocket?
Woo-hoo.
That would be amazing. Well, Tim Tebow, we talked about him this morning, that he will be inducted into Florida's football Ring of Honor. Well, Hugh, are you curious to who Tim Tebow is reportedly dating?
Who is he dating?
2017 Miss Universe. Her name is Demi Leigh Nell Peters. And I would look it up. Just look up the article. She is a very beautiful woman. Or just look up the 2017 Miss Universe. As the New York Post pointed out, the two haven't gotten public with their relationship, but Tim Tebow's siblings have both shared photos with the maybe couple this week, all on Instagram and social media. So when it's social media official, that means your relationship is official.
Nell Peters, is it called? Is she,
Demi Leigh. So her first name, Demi Leigh.
Demi Leigh, okay.
D-E-M-I, uh-huh. Leigh, L-E-I-G-H. Mm-hmm. And then Nell Peters is also hyphenated, N-E-L-Peters. And just look up 2017 Miss Universe because she did win it all. Okay. That is who Tim Tebow is reportedly dating, according to the New York Post and to Tim Tebow's siblings.
You don't reckon he's still in the same situation he was, 4 or 5 years ago, like that Bachelorette, right?
No, he's like a virgin.
We don't know that. You don't
like
know
a
that.
Virgin.
Well, he was asked the question at SEC Media Days. I doubt that question will be discussed again, but I think he was 24 or 25 at the time, though.
And he's what, 30? 30?
Yeah.
He's 30
like
years old.
Like a virgin.
That you don't know that as fact, so you cannot say that.
He said he was a virgin. Hey!
It has been many years. Has he said it recently, Hugh?
That's for the very first time.
Did you look up Miss Universe 2017, Hugh?
Yeah, she's hot. She need a sandwich of three, but she's hot. I like them with a little bit more meat on their bones. And some weight gloves, because I like them that they work out. I like them to lift weights.
Weight gloves.
Like a virgin.
I'm excited for Tim Tebow, and I'm glad they are their Instagram
good for
official,
him.
According to his siblings. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Well, some not so good news is Charles Oakley learning the hard way that if you try to cheat at a Vegas casino, you'll be ending up behind bars, because TMZ Sports is reporting that the ex-NBA star was arrested at the Cosmopolitan on July 8th after allegedly trying to pull a fast one during a gambling session. And of course, it's all caught on video because there are surveillance cameras everywhere.
Come on,
I mean, come on.
This is my Stairmaster buddy.
So this is apparently what happened. So it's unclear what the game he was playing at the time, but the Nevada Gaming Board is telling TMZ that he tried to pull back a $100 chip after realizing he was going to lose. He was confronted about the incident and was kicked over to a security team, which reviewed the casino footage, confirming the alleged cheating. The 54-year-old was then taken into custody at 5:30 p.m. and booked into the Clark County Detention Center. But this is no joke. So this is not something to be laughed at, because a gambling charge is pretty serious business, because to commit or attempt to commit a fraudulent act in a gaming establishment, he faces between 1 to 6 years in prison if convicted.
They do not mess around.
There is no messing around.
Guess what Charles Oakley's from?
1 to 6 years.
No,
guess where he's from?
What's that?
He's from Ohio.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
He's from Cleveland. I know this because I did classic rock radio for a long time, and as part of a promotion with Casino Royale, the James Bond movie, they handed out poker chips that
were
came with
real?
These little kits. So I had one, and I've had it in my underwear drawer or wherever I keep all my junk stuff for like 7 or 8 years, until I went to Las Vegas about 4 years ago and took that chip with me. I said, I must have forgot to go ahead and cash that chip out. It was a $5 chip. And I went to Casino Royale right there on the strip and tried to cash it and was immediately arrested.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't real.
It was not real. And I didn't realize it. I just thought it was, you know, because I got something from, you know, Caesars, and I had something from Treasure Bay. And I just, some things that, you know, you walk out of the casino and you forget to cash them in.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, this is a, and I explained to them that I used to work for a radio station. They let me go before I was put behind bars.
They don't
screw around when you're trying to cheat casinos, man.
I wonder if that means Oak won't be on at the Stairmaster.
They don't like you counting cards either.
I don't know if I. I don't know if we're cool enough for me to ask him what happened, but I'm not going to ask him. That's kind of private.
Well, I think we know, right?
Well, I'm just going to say, what were you thinking? I was going to probably ask him what he was
playing blackjack. Is that what he's doing? Did they say what he was playing?
They don't know what game he was playing yet, or hasn't been disclosed yet, at least to TMZ Sports. So they're the first ones.
It couldn't be craps. It'd have to be a table game where you try to pull it back again. But yeah, that's not smart.
Well, speaking of gambling, some online bookies already giving odds on the proposed Tiger Woods Phil Mickelson $10 million challenge. So here are some of the things you can bet on at sportsbettingdime.com. You can bet on the match itself, of course. The odds of it actually happening are 1-2, which is about 67%. So if it does happen, Tiger is the favorite to win it all. So he has 2-3 odds. Phil's odds are 3-2. So you can bet on that. As for where it's happening, they're giving Nevada the best odds at 5-3, followed by California, then Hawaii, and New York. So you can also bet.
Let's do this, man. It's $10 million. Someone will pony up $10 million. They'll make that in a heartbeat. People would love to watch that. We never thought we saw the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, and that happened. I love
this. Who you want to see now?
You want to see the 96 Bulls take on the 2017? You're not going to see those kind of things because there's too many moving pieces. But these are two guys. Don't have to go through the PGA to pull it off. Do it, man. I mean, I love that. I think it'd be a great made-for-TV show. Let's go.
The 96 Bulls?
Yeah, you know how that people always want to take teams from different eras and they want to sit there and say, who's going to win? Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, we never thought we'd see that happen. And it was fantastic. I loved it. It went 15 rounds. It was great. Let's do it. Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods, $10 million. Make it a pay-per-view. I'll watch.
I might watch that. I might watch that.
That's the only way we're going to see them both come up 18 again.
We can also bet on when it's going to happen. 12-1 odds that it's going to happen in August. Then it's followed by September, October, November in that order. So August starts at 12-1. And the chance that either Phil or Tiger gets penalized is 25-1. And the chance either of them hits a hole-in-one is astronomical. It's pretty much...
They both cheat.
It's 399-1, so you might as well put
a couple of bucks on that. They both cheat like priests in a Catholic golf outing, man. They're kicking balls out from under the bushes. You see what Phil did this past week? Madden down the grass with his foot. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. He's like, is that against the rules? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
It's all of a sudden they forgot the rules in golf. You can't do that. You can't forget.
It makes you wonder how they play when they're doing best ball.
Well, I don't want to leave esports out today because when there's a new announcement, Twitter goes bananas, especially when it comes to Fortnite. So I'm looking on Twitter this morning, see the side over there where it has what's trending. Fortnite 5 is trending. I click on it. Apparently, there's a new Season 5, and it's just a trailer right now, but there it's going to include a Viking ship. I know Daryl plays Fortnite. Tony, I'm sure, have you heard of Fortnite
by
now? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. It's the only video game where you don't have to play. People just watch it, right? They just sit around and watch it.
So some people do. They watch the streams. Yeah. They watch the actual
You know who
streams.
Loves that? Mike Leach. Loves himself some Viking ships. Loves some Fortnite.
Well, this one is going to include a Viking ship, a desert outpost, ancient statues that have appeared all over the island. It's going to be changing the world of Fortnite, whatever that means. I know you drive. I know people jump out of a school bus being toted by a hot air balloon. That's about as much Fortnite knowledge as I have.
I thought
but
you was going to try to get that Fortnite bread.
I have Fortnite on my phone. I have played it one time because it's really hard to play on your phone. I kind of need a remote.
You probably need a video gaming console.
Yeah, those are expensive, and I'd rather spend it on something like a vacation or talking to people at restaurants and such.
Oh, that's so nice.
Are you listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game? You want to hear a good Viking story?
Yes.
I'll tell you next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.